Daily Mirror holders, great to have you all of you here today. We're going to talk about imagination, tool, toy, or devil, and if it is something that we need to use or something that we need to ignore. There are a lot of opinions about it, and I think it has been like that for many, many years. So we're going to hear what you have to say, and we're going to put some of our own experiences when it comes to imagination, some of them personal, some of them, other people have told us. So I hope that you'll stay tuned and work with us on that. I mean, it's quite interesting and quite fascinating to talk about something like imagination and to see where that will lead us. Anyway, today is Sunday, the 19th of July. It's quite hot in Israel, like it needs to be. But, you can't really ignore the fact that a lot of changes are occurring and we see a lot of more and more people get to be aware and wake up to, this reality of changes, especially when it comes to our weather, to climate changes. So I hope that more and more people will wake up and we'll figure it out. What do we need to do, not to stop the changes, but to make sure that we stay in balance with each other and inside ourselves, and of course, with the Earth Mother as part of what we do. And speaking of the Earth Mother, we have a lovely website. We'll invite you to check it out and help us to work on some of the things that we work for quite a while. It's www.sotem.org. You can check that out. There's a lovely, amazing donation button that is waiting just for you to help us. Anyway, if you would like to call us during the show, please do that. But before that, just let us know, because we want to be prepared. If you want to talk with us, using the phone, it'll be great. We always want people to talk to us, no matter which way. You guys, I know you like the show. I mean, we have a lot of good comments every week from those shows. So if you really like those shows and you want to share this, these shows with people, please do that. Click on the share button, share on Facebook, Twitter, or any kind of social media. Whatever you choose. I mean, it's not mandatory, but it will help us, really. As I said before, I see that people start to arrive here, like Janie, Sue, and Jay. Welcome, everyone. I hope we'll see Running Elk. It's been a while. I don't know. Anyway, it felt like it. I'm sure that he's with us in spirit, and of course his group, and of course our friends from all over the world. You're more than welcome to, to show your spirit and let us to be the voice of what you say, of what you want to say. And I see Running Elk, of course. We say hello from up here. We have 23 relatives together today. That's amazing. That's 23. That's quite an audience. But you're not really an audience. You're part of the discussion and very important. You're all part of this discussion every week. So we're very happy you're with us today. So as I said, we're going to talk about imagination, and maybe we'll talk about how some cultures or using tradition, techniques help with healing, or maybe not. I don't know, but we'll see. There's a whole hour to talk about it. Jim, how are you today?
I'm good. Sitting here in not-so-sunny Colorado today. It's actually quite cool. It's like the fall. It's like a fall day almost. But very humid, which is also unusual for here. So just enjoying what weather there is. Welcome to Running Elk and his group and everyone else who's with us. Running Elk, you're almost an audience by yourself today, your group. That's 24 people with him. So it's nice that you're there. I see we have some guests. Welcome you in as well. Oh, imagination. Yeah, this ought to be a fun show. There's a lot to imagination, for sure. And we're going to talk a little bit about imagination and visualization. A lot of people have been making comments when we posted this show was coming. So I have a suspicion there'll be a lot of people showing up for it, and that's really wonderful. Actually, 50 people tried to listen to it before the show came on. Just a reminder to everybody, of course, I'm probably preaching to the choir here. We put the shows up several days before the shows, but that doesn't mean they're airing right then. Apparently, a lot of people just see it and think, well, it sounds good. You can do that after the show. Absolutely, they'll be in the archives. But even we haven't found a way to have the show on before we actually do it and speak the words. It might be there spiritually. Maybe we'll find it. So, imagination. What is imagination? And that's a tricky one. I don't know how we'll define this thing. I would love to hear from listeners and what they think imagination is, or how we use it, or how it's valuable, or not valuable, for that matter. When I did post the show around for us, met a couple people who had kind of some dark comments around imagination, which I found interesting. And that's okay. You know, hey, it's whatever we see. There are those who say that imagination can be a dark thing and something we don't use. So let's dig into all that today. See, imagination is the basis of everything. And the more you are on the spiritual road, the more imagination you have. Actually, the more imagination you become comfortable in using. Let me just start with that. I think you have a lot of people who say, well, I have no imagination. Or we point at other people and say, wow, they have no imagination. Well, that's not true. Everyone has imagination. It is. It exists in us. It's part of the human condition. Actually, it's part of a living condition because all creatures have imagination. Now, it's whether we choose to use it or not and how much we exercise it and how much we develop it that might make the difference. And if we choose not to use it, then yeah, it seems like we have no imagination. So I want to put that out there. Everyone has imagination. It's not unique to anybody. Some have just opted to develop it at a higher level or more frequently or whatever. For me, I use mine all the time. I can drive people nuts because I come up with crazy things. But it's things I see in my imagination, and then I use that energy to create something in my physical realm. I've done that probably my whole life. I hope I always do it. Thoughts on that? I'll turn it over to you, Sharon.
Yeah, there's a lot to work with, and there are a lot of opinions about what is imagination, and some of them are negative and some of them are positive, but the only thing that is a fact that is that we all have imagination. We all have the ability to imagine. And I found some great quotes, three. I found more, but won't have the time. And I'd like to talk about those quotes. I'll read those three quotes, and I hope that that you'll have something to say. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, maybe you have, I don't know, whatever you choose. Albert Einstein said, logic will get you from A to B, from point A to point B. Imagination will take you everywhere. And I very like, I think this is, it's not the first, maybe the second quote that, when I used to read a lot. Now I read a little bit less, but I used to read a lot, and I used to read a lot of quotes. And I think this is one of the first or second quotes from Albert Einstein that I felt the connection immediately, because it's so true. we see how the mind creates boundaries and limitations. Now, imagination, some will say it comes from the brain, some will say it comes from the heart, some will say it comes from the spirit, some, I don't know, but it is there. And it is important to use it, and I'll tell you exactly why. I mean, we see Thomas Edison kind of like explain why is it so necessary to have imagination by saying to invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk. And we're talking about one of the most important inventors ever. And really, because once you envision, you know, even just a piece of information, small piece of information, once you envision it and you see it, you can build it. You can build everything. We can create everything. Now, for me personally, imagination, it's a little bit more than creation, although, creation is big and it is critical and important. For me, sometimes imagination is it's more like a prayer and like a silent prayer, like a discussion that we have inside of us that will help us to set things into balance. But it is important, and I used to do it as a child. It is important not to really use imagination as a getaway, as an escape or something like that from reality. Although it can really help, but it's not why imagination is there for. I see from Running Elk, when life is hard, imagination let us feel better and see the way we need to make it better. And that's important. I'm really connected to what you said, Running Elk, especially the ending of this sentence, because it's one thing to make us feel better, which is okay. We need to feel better. We cannot live life full of suffering, although a lot of philosophers would disagree with you. But I do think when it comes to, it's not just to feel better, but to be able to not really organize our thoughts, but to maintain some balance and to put some flow into a lot of chaos that we go through in our everyday lives. So I wonder, Jim, what do you have to say about it? What do you think about what Ryan Gelk said?
No, I think he's absolutely right. Yes, when things are really hard, imagination and visualization, which we're going to get into, can really help ease the situation, can really help ease the pain. But as Sharon said, and Running Elk goes right into, it's also a roadmap for the next part of the journey. How do we shift into? What do we shift into? If we get stuck in difficult times or painful times, if we don't use visualization or imagination, we run a very real risk of being stuck there and not being able to get out of that realm. We all know people who have done this. Boy, we've been talking a lot about changes and shifts, and people awakening spiritually and looking at the world around them and so on and so forth. You really need imagination to move forward in those times. You need to visualize. You need to see things the way that they would be more complete. More of healing the sacred hoop wherever it is broken. And so in that way, we use them as tools. We don't want to just stop by easing our pain. That's kind of like medicine, you know, that we've talked about before. Western medicine says you're cured if you ease the pain. Spirit medicine and indigenous medicine says you're healed when you start to look at the causes. Well, just using imagination and visualization to ease pain, but in the short term, and heck, we have to do it. People with severe illnesses who are in a lot of pain use both of these techniques all the time, if they're lucky and they've been taught how to do it. But then we got to move along the road. Absolutely. Anyone else? What do you all say? I see Running Elk said, oh, okay, that's one I already copied over. Wondered how it got there. Sue said, okay, here's a good one. I used to feel like everyone had an imagination except me. I was a follower instead of leading my own life. Creativity comes from being your own person and to connecting to your higher self. Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying at the opening here, my opening remarks. There's a lot of people who say they have no imagination. I know many of them. And others we look at and we say, wow, it's a shame. They have no imagination. They do. They just haven't let it open up. It could be fear of what they might see, especially if you are of Running Elk's mind and know what you see, you really want to start manifesting. So over to you, Sharon.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, reading what Sue wrote here is quite powerful. And thanks for sharing that. I mean, we all have, like we said in the opening of this show, we all said that we have the power to imagine. We all have it inside of us. It's with us. It never leaves us, really. Oh, if you want it to leave you, it can, but it's there. It's really there. It's really hard sometimes, in many, many ways, to manifest what you imagine. Because, well, there's a lot of criticism from a lot of, you know, from different places, from different people. When I used a lot of my imagination and when I was younger, my family thought that I was crazy. You know, it's not a normal thing. It's a taboo. And I'm not sure why is it a taboo if everyone has it. So I found it a little bit of ridiculous, you know, a ridiculous thing to say, or to kind of like to judge, especially when it comes to a child. But it is a medicine, like Jim said, and it's hard to manifest at the times. And I think that, you know, the thing with imagination is that, yeah, we all have it, but only a few of us can really, you know, stretch our awarenesses. And you know, to catch up with imagination. So imagination and realism will become one. Again, I see a great quote from Pablo Picasso, who said, everything you can imagine is real. And I always said that imagination is an extension of the truth, because it's not like we imagine something that is completely, you know, out of the blue. Some will say that a lot of the mythical creatures, such as maybe even the dragon, is an invent. It's something that is not real, but it is. The cultures, the yellow cultures, saw the dragon, and maybe they meant something else. Maybe they meant dinosaurs or something that looks like a dragon. But there's always a sense, a part of imagination that it is true. And we're able to see the bigger picture sometimes with imagination than in the, you know, when we use our minds alone and not to be creative. A person that is creative will use his imagination, no doubt about that. I see from Rhonda Davis. Yeah, sometimes we cannot see the next step because we're not using our imagination. Oh, Running Elk, the best solutions often come from imagining a new way. And from Jonathan, I think he's from New Zealand, I'm not sure. Welcome anyway, here down under again for, and he asks, How do you mean visualization? I'll leave Jim to answer that in a second. But yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what I said, Rhonda, that we cannot see the next step. We cannot see sometimes anything without imagination. Let's just say that imagination is a good eye doctor that opens your eyes and you're not blind anymore. Or at least it's a funny way to look at things. Jim, back to you. You have a question that you need to answer, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, from Jonathan. There's four of them there today. They're from down under. I think they're Australia. Could be New Zealand. I don't know. Anyway, welcome again. How do you mean visualization? Well, yeah, imagination and visualization. Two separate things, although tightly connected. For me, anyway, the way I was taught these things, imagination is going into your heart and then up into your brain to start thinking of things that could be, could possibly be, kind of like Running Elk and his group were saying. Times are hard, something's going on, you imagine something that's better. Visualization is you start to alleviate what you're feeling by actually building upon that imagination and building images in your mind and in your heart, more importantly. You can do it for your own healing. Part of learning spiritual healing, indigenous type healing, is visualization. Trying to think of, when I was learning plant medicine down in Belize with the plant lady, Rosita, a lot of what she worked with me on was visualization. We would learn the plants, those of us with her. We would learn what they did. We'd learn how to combine them. We'd learn which plant medicine works with which type of person and which may not. But then when we actually applied the plant medicine to somebody, we would visualize what was going on. So if somebody had a tumor in their whatever, kidney, they would take whatever the plant medicine was that was prepared by the herbalist down there, by the native person, by whomever, and they would visualize it going through their body, going through their system, getting to this tumor that they wanted to work on, and they would visualize that tumor shrinking, or they would visualize that tumor going away altogether. Anyway, to me, there's kind of the difference. You bring in a little different energy in the visualization, and if anyone has different thoughts on this, please put them out there. So imagination, oh boy, what it would be like if, what do we want to do? Man, our crops are really bad this year. How could we make them better? Well, how about if we moved to this other piece of land? And how about if we were able to save some water and water them a little more frequently? Okay, you're starting to imagine what things look like. Visualization, you're kind of taking the next step. Okay, now we've saved this water. We're putting this water on the crops. Let's visualize that water going down into the roots, up through the plant, and making the plant stronger and healthier. So one is thinking about what the new quote-unquote medicine would be. The second one is using your spirit to have the good effects of that imagination start to be felt. And there's a lot of research on both of these. There's certainly a lot on visualization. When my previous wife had cancer, I guided her in all kinds of visualization, and she was a person who said she had very little imagination. That's not true at all. Hers was a little different, but she had strong imagination. Anyway, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that imagination, it helps us to, to have more solutions, more understanding of what we're facing. And there is a lot that we're facing every day right now. I mean, you cannot really run away from that. And we don't want to use imagination again as a runaway tool or something like that. I see from Rebecca, she said, my three-year-old grandchild has such a wonderful imagination. She's learning things, connecting things, and creating things. Why do we squash it? I agree, I'm not sure what I'm reading here, but stifles the positive imaginations. Yeah, you know, I think that today's society is more open to children that use imagination, because we think it's kind of like a children thing, that, you know, it's okay for a child or 3-year-old, 4 years old, whatever, to use imagination. But when it comes to a person that is 20, 30, 50, 60-year-old person, to use imagination, we see it as a taboo. Now, this is kind of like, when we think about it for a second, there's a lot going on. We get more experienced as we grow older, and we, hopefully, some of us will get wiser as we will grow older. Hopefully everybody, but, you know, that's just my personal opinion. But the thing is that, you know, the question that I ask myself, and of course I ask in general, why we tend to use less imagination when we grow older. I mean, we have more experience. We know, when it comes to those experiences, we know more. At least that's the theory, or at least that's what people say, that when they grow older, they know more. But, you know, they don't use imagination. That is a big problem. If we would use our imagination as much as we need to, there were a lot of problems that are, you know, that exist at the moment that maybe we wouldn't have to deal with. Maybe it would look a little bit different. Janie said, I think we all have great imagination where we are children. It's only when we have responsibilities of adult life, we are at risk of losing it. Exactly. I mean, there is a big problem with that. Why do we do it? I mean, it's great to have imagination, but it, as a child, but it's also great, it's still great and very helpful, by the way, to use imagination even when we have responsibilities, especially when we have responsibilities. Unfortunately, again, some of the people that have responsibilities and use imagination, they use it as they try to hide away, some of what they need to do. That's a problem. From Jonathan, my 8-year-old here is asking, cool, when she can imagine things where older people cannot seem to see. That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't know if I have the answer to that, but that's a great question. And I'm so, you know, happy to see that we have younger people among us asking the right questions, the most powerful questions. Thank you. Jim?
Yeah, I mean, part of it, and I'm glad your daughter is there, Jonathan, that's great. Yeah, part of it is because when we're still young, nothing has culturally or anything else stopped us from using our imagination. Nothing at all. It's there. We see things. We feel things. I jokingly put one up a little while ago, see if I can even still find it, because I think I channeled him as this was going on. Anyway, there you go. Without strong, vibrant imagination, I do not exist. Maybe that's why I exist most strongly for the young, from Santa Claus. So, you know, I did it tongue-in-cheek. But absolutely right. Children can and do see things, imagine things, feel things. There's nothing that's told them they can't. There's nothing that told them they're being silly. There's nothing like Liam, I'm sorry for the pronunciation, says, in school I would write about things from my imagination, and the teacher would tell me I was being foolish, so I stopped. You see, that's what happens. And that's why we start to culturally, we're not supposed to be in that place. Especially in westernized nations. You know, we do our job, we make our living, provide for our family, blah, blah, blah. There's no time for that sort of nonsense. And so we start to absorb that. And like Liam says, it can begin in school. What a horrible thing for any teacher to say to any child. But the teachers all too often have been ingrained with the same, actually, they're the ones that are foolish, not the kids. And I can remember years ago growing up, I had both kinds of teachers. I had those that totally encouraged my weirdness, my imagination, and those who said, you know, either cut that out or go down and see the principal. And so they cause very different feelings in a person, that's for sure. So I think it's really important, especially now. There's so many things going on around us, and this show is another one of the Circle of Life shows. There's so much going on around us now in every way, between humans, politically, religiously, absolutely in nature. Look at all the elements that are going on, that we really need to use imagination and visualization as tools to help us create the new earth, a better earth, a more sustainable earth. So we better stop trying to hinder the young ones from using theirs and instead do just the opposite. There's nothing crazy or foolish about anything that comes out of the imagination. Sharon kind of hinted at it before or even said it. Anything, there is a philosophical point, anything that can be imagined exists. Maybe it's not here yet, maybe it hasn't come yet, maybe it existed in the past, but if we can imagine it as creatures of the universe, then it exists somewhere. And I subscribe to that, I totally believe that. So whether it's the dragons that Tron's talking about, and she's part dragon, or if it's something else, So I guess that's my thoughts on that. Let me read this one that Rhonda put up and then pass it on over to Sharon. Rhonda Davis, she's coming in on the Facebook lines. When I was a kid, I wanted a new bike. I imagined I could make money by painting flags, etc., to commemorate the bicentennial year on things. I painted them on one hard hat for a guy in a local construction crew. When the crew saw his hat, they all wanted theirs painted too. My mom was amazed a kid could raise the money for a $200 bike in a week. Yeah, okay, so Rhonda had a goal. She wanted this bike. And so she used her imagination. How can I do this? You know, what can I do? What kind of things? And, you know, using the flag came to her. Then she started visualizing it by thinking, well, where could I put those things, and ended up putting it on a hat. And boom, that just opened up the whole arena to her. Had she not been using her imagination, she might have gone out, and I don't know what she would have put it on, the bumper sticker, I don't know, same old things. But her imagination opened up a whole new realm for her. So that's a cool teaching. Sharon, on any of that.
I think it's a great teaching. I think once you want something, once you have the desire and the passion to have something, to achieve something, and you can envision it and imagine it, you will be able to accomplish it and to get it. And that's why imagination is so powerful. That's amazing. Like I said before in this show, imagination for me is some sort of a prayer. It's inviting energy in. And I see Rhonda's story is, you know, is a little prayer of, you know, imagine she could have the money by doing this and that. She found her way to achieve whatever she wanted to achieve. And she used imagination. She didn't go to the internet. She didn't do anything, you know, big or complicated. She imagined. That needs to be something that is natural, and it is natural, but, you know, it's quite hurtful that today's world asks us to put it aside and not use it because it's weird, or at least that's what they say. I see from Liam. Liam said, in school, I would write about things from my imagination, and the teacher would say I was being foolish, so I stopped. That is a really sad thing to read right now, and to see that in school they give you knowledge. They're supposed to give you the gift of knowledge. Instead, they suppress you, because the gift of knowledge, from their point of view, is in the books, is in the notebooks, but not in your head, not in your heart, not in your ability of imagining. I wonder what Einstein would say about this kind of, you know, about this teacher, about teachers in schools nowadays. I think he would be ashamed. I know that I am, you know. By the way, Rebecca said that was a wonderful life experience, Rhonda. So shout out to Rhonda out there. From Running Girls Group, Grandmother Elma. We are taught to make ways. The little ones use this imagination. We ask them to do it. We ask them to teach us what they see. It is the beginning of the vision quest. Some will follow later. This is quite interesting. Jim and I talked once or twice, I think it was in the past week, about vision quest. It is amazing how a lot of non-coincidence things happen. but yeah, I read what you wrote here, what you said, Grandmother Elma. Well, first of all, thank you. But the first imagination image, by the way, that came to my awareness was the image of white buffalo calf woman. And why is that? Because she asked, according to the story, according to the teachings, she asked the children to teach as well. And this is amazing that we don't see it in our modern world. And we need to ask the little ones to help us to trust ourselves as much as we can to use imagination, because I think that imagination and trust are really related. And from Rhonda, she said, Liam, because you have recognized where you stopped, you can now reclaim it. I agree. You go get it, Liam. I mean, you need to do it for yourself most of all. But if you want to teach your children one day, or maybe you have children, I don't know. If you want to teach them a true legacy and a great educational flow, it is with imagination more than anything, I believe. Jim, back to you.
Yep. So I suspect Sharon must have gone off, got a cup of tea at one point. So we redid Liam's, but that's a good one to redo, because it is really a critical one. And he's written since that he he did reclaim his imagination when he got a little further along. So that's good to know. He was talking about back when he was in school, he's saying right now. Cool. Running Elk. Spirit uses our imagination to speak to us. Vision Quest has vision, which is seeing what Creator sends us. Ooh, now that's an interesting one. And this would hold for a lot of cultures, I would say. Since I've worked with a lot of cultures on spiritual things, I would say it's a very similar thing. So Running Elk, yeah, you're right. When we go, you know, a Vision Quest, we go up on the mountain for a period of time, traditionally for 3 nights and 4 days, but it can vary. If we have a vision, which is the root of the word visualization, by the way, it comes from Creator, and it comes through many, many means, but certainly uses imagination and visualization. I know with mine, and I'm not going to go in great detail. If you want more, you can go to my first book, White Man, Red Road, Five Colors, and I spend a lot of time talking and providing the whole vision I had. We start to see things that are not necessarily what we normally see in our waking life. So animals will speak to us. Animals will exist that maybe don't exist on the planet at this time. People will be doing things they normally can't do. It's the whole point of the vision is giving us a message. And it's doing it in a way that we use our imagination, and then we start to visualize, okay, what can we do about it? And it may not happen in, you know, like 1, 2, 3. It may happen over time. But, yeah, that's a really good point. Creator, God, whatever, great spirit, whatever term we like to use, the universe definitely talks to us through our, at least one means, through our imagination, and often through our dreams as well. So are dreams not just a form of imagination that come to us when we're not awake? I wonder. Over to you on that one. That's too much.
I'll have to think about it. But I like what Running Elk said here. He said, spirit uses our imagination to speak to us. Vision Quest is vision, which, and you know, I feel like I'm imagining right now some of the things. So I might repeat some of the things that you said, Jim. Or read before, so I'm sorry about that. Or not, I'm not sorry, because apparently, Spirit wants me to repeat what you said. So repetition is good. You know, when it comes to Vision Quest, and I have not a lot of experience in Vision Quest, but it's a line of communication, just like dreams is a line of communication. Imagination is too, and there is a big difference between the two, but they are both lines of communication. I think it takes a lot of practice. You know, when we practice kind of like to empower our imagination skills. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of openness that happens, you know, in time. Like Jim said, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. But it is really important to keep using imagination and not suppress it when as we grow older, because, well, first of all, we need it. We always need it. We will always need it. And second of all, it's part of the teachings that that we really need to pass to next generations. I see this as something that it is as critical as education. And maybe even more critical. Like Liam said here that his teacher thought, you know, imagination is a foolish thing. And then he stopped. I really hope for you, Liam, and I hope for all of us that you'll continue to do it. You'll keep writing what you imagine. when we read about books, when we see movies, not all of them based on, you know, true stories, but imagination is based on truth. And we see it in movies, and we see it in books, like I said, and we see it in teachings, and we see it everywhere. Why stopping there? Why, you know, preventing from ourselves not, you know, to use this tool of creation? I, unfortunately, a lot of cultures, and Jim mentioned that before the show, he mentioned that there are some religions that suppress imagination. And this is something that we need to overcome and to, you know, give ourselves tool, this gift, to move forward. From Rhonda Davis, everything that has ever been created has some first up from imagination, beginning with the very first tools that man used. Exactly what, you know, what Edison, what Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein said. So yeah, thank you for empowering that. And from Susan, what about people in religion who don't want kids to use imagination, being bad or evil, yet to believe in religions was needs imagination? I think you kind of answered yourself in a way, Susan, and thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, what about them? We all have the choice, and we all have the ability to make choices. But the thing is that religion is, you know, is very close-minded. It tells you what to do. It tells you how to do it. But it never opens your mind to more possibilities. Sometimes some people say that religion and faith have nothing to do with each other. And, you know, I don't like to, you know, to fight, especially I used to fight a lot with people that are religious. And I used to tell them what I really think. I think that, and I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone, but I think that religion that tells that, you know, that it doesn't want the kids to use imagination prevents the kids from growing. They become an expert of religion, of their own religion, but they won't be able to move with, you know, and move forward and expand their awareness, their knowledge, and so on and so forth. So I don't know if it's much of an answer, but it is what it is anyway. Jim, back to you.
Yeah, and that's funny because that's what you were just saying as I was typing that over from Susan. Yeah, I remember also growing up as a kid. I grew up Catholic for a little while. And there was a priest and a couple of nuns who were like, no, tell me exactly what this is about. Tell me the reasons for it. We don't want to hear these stories you make up in your mind. That those were the devil's place. But I didn't think about the second part of this that Susan said, which is really cool. To believe in a religious way needs imagination, I think. Yeah, absolutely. We can't see the gods and so forth around us, or the God, whatever our belief is, if we don't have imagination. But I think the problem there is, again, yeah, it's and like Sharon was saying, religion strives to control, spirituality allows freedom. And so imagination is all about freedom. No one can control your imagination. Therefore, if you fear it in some way, if you don't want people to be free thinkers, then the best way is to shut it off before they use it. So That's a really good question. Thank you for that. Susan, thank you. Soren has been listening in Norway with a group, I don't know how many, but welcome in again. Glad you've been here. And Soren says, evolution has a great imagination. I really like that. Yeah, that's a good one, Soren. It sure does. Look at the creatures out there, the creatures, the plants, the trees, and look at some of the things they've evolved into, especially those that turned out to be dead ends, where the creatures couldn't survive. Yep, evolution sure has a great imagination. Anything you can think of exists. So, you know, why would we have had, at any time in our history, but why on this planet would we have had dinosaurs roaming the planet that were so enormous? Because I guess evolution had a great imagination. Now, they didn't last too long. And so maybe the piece here is imagination is wonderful. Exercise it, do it, use it, and then visualize ways to usefully use what we imagine. But it, because it can't actually go wrong, I guess is what I'm thinking this through as I'm speaking, so I'm slow. If it's something that is not sustainable, it will disappear by itself, as did the dinosaurs, as did other species, as did most humans. You know, only one or two streams of humans survived to this time. So, yeah, I think we just use it, do it, and see what works. The ones that don't work, they will eliminate themselves. So thank you, Soren, and we're glad you're here again. Stick in the middle.
Yeah, and evolution has not just a great imagination. It does has a great sense of humor. I mean, anyway, from my end, that's what I think. But yeah, definitely. And thank you, Soren, for being with us today. You know, I remember that Jim and I did this imagination blog several weeks ago. When I wrote my part in this blog, most of what I focused on was using imagination as a healing tool. And Jim mentioned that once or twice during the show. I was watching this video of a person that imagined how his breaths and heartbeat slows down, that he can survive being in the cold for days and still be alive and nothing, he won't get hurt. Now, I won't recommend this kind of a thing for everybody. Do not try this at home, really. But I think, you know, it can be a powerful tool once you practice it and to be able to do it. It's an amazing thing to have. It's an amazing thing to have as a healing tool. Jim talking about, imagination when it comes to cancer, for example. It's important that, you know, that a person, as part of the awareness, won't give up, no matter how bad things are. And when that person decides to die and to move forward, it is important to use imagination as part of the clarity before death. I don't want to bump anyone, really, but it is important. I wish I would, you know, now that I think about it, I wish I would write this in the blog that we did. But, you know, since we talk about it right now, so I think it's kind of a closure. But really, from small viruses like flu to infections to amputation to diabetes, cancer, even HIV virus, maybe Alzheimer, maybe Parkinson's disease, maybe autoimmune system illnesses. Imagination is a great thing. It's not a false hope. Some people said that before, it is not. It is something that is so powerful, it can be more powerful and more energetic than any other pill or fluid that you would provide to yourselves. From Running Elk, I imagine a world every day where we can watch a planet heal, the planet heal and come together like in a prophecy. And I do what I can to make it be so. And I think the world, the planet, is very grateful for, you know, to have people like you running out to, when the fact that you do it, it takes a lot. It takes a lot, and it takes all of us to do it. So yeah, it's great, great thing to have. Jim?
So we're going to bring in Aloha Jay in a moment. I just wanted to say on Running Elks, the key part there for me is then I do what I can to make it be so. Once again, it's that you got to take action as well. We can't all just sit around hoping and praying and imagining. That's great. We need to do it. But then we also have to act. And we're in the time of action. So that's all I think there. So can we bring on Aloha Jay, Sharon?
Hello out there to all my relations.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Great talk. You always have great topics for your show to participate in. I have a great discussion on this. So thanks for sharing the talks around. Thank you. I'm finding about the imagination, I find that I think way back then when we didn't have a lot of like, tools and information that we have now is more about survival also. And we use whatever means to actually, complete something or fix something or get us out of a rut that we've been in. So I find that now there's, because there's so much information out there, include myself. If I would like to go, fix something, I would actually go to, the internet or something like that, something I don't know anything about, and either, investigate it or even, do something that someone else did. I think technology has changed the way we imagine also. We have, all sorts of, images and things like that where we create that perception, and usually that perception comes with also laziness too, that it's already done and, we're not going to do anything about it and sort of thing. So I think also about imagination is that we also put that foot in our mouth, if you want to call that, before we even take that first step. And that is like, it's like a I can't do it type of attitude before we actually, take that first step. So I feel that the gentleman that was talking about, taking action is really correct also. It's just doing it and not expecting anything too, and the outcome when you're doing it, So that's my thoughts about imagination. I find now too, like I said, maybe on your previous shows, that we have a lot of complexity is in the way we use your imagination also. It used to be simple before. When I grew up with like Lego, it was just blocks, and now it's a complete kick on step-by-step instructions how to do things. And that's one of the things actually is to say about technology now. You ever actually go and, when people take a picture off their cell phones or off their smartphones and you're looking for it, if you watch what they do, how they actually, it's like, it's sequential way of thinking in a way. If you think about that, right? Each picture is put in a certain date, and they're scrolling forever. They got 1,000 pictures on their smartphone. They're scrolling forever, and you see how tools and like that are a way of thinking sequentially, not like kind of like random acts of doing something in a moment. So I see how that's a detriment also to your imagination also. It's already been done, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I think imagination really works if you're like away from, let's say, like a for oh, great way to use your imagination is actually camping. Think
Oh,
about
wow.
camping, okay? Think about camping, okay? You prepare for your stuff, and you're bringing your things, and here you are in the middle of the woods, and you got no technologies whatsoever except for maybe Wi-Fi, hopefully not. And you're figuring out how to do things, right? So what do you do to your imagination? If you want to make a fire or do something, you don't have it, what do you do? It's like, oh, well, you can ask a neighbor or something like that. That's where it's a good way you can use your imagination is, going camping and things like that. So there's all sorts of ways to do that. It is actually a training thought, and the way it's been taught now is it's easily accessible. It's not, it's already been done, like I said, and no one's going to really use your imagination unless to, say something or even speaking now, or even, people texting or something like that. Texting is like all the words appear automatically, right? So,
And not always on in the right way.
that's right. And we see how we become imagination lazy, if you want to call it that. So
That's true.
I find that if we're in a crisis, I think that's it is a way for us to use imagination too, because we now it's like, okay, survival. So I think part of it is also the survival thing that we have in our inside ourselves to where our imagination comes out. So if things are okay and everything's we have no sense of how would you say it, sun is going to rise in the east and sunset is going to fall in the west, or sun, oh, what do you call it? Anyhow, we have that whole paradigm that it things will remain the same. So I think when push comes to shove, that's where we use our imagination.
Yeah.
And that's
No, I like that. I think I agree with you. I don't know what, I don't know how old are you, but you sound quite, I would say in your 20s, maybe 30s, because you mentioned the Lego. So I only can guess about, I don't know how old are you, but it's pretty cool. It's a great perspective, using the camping thing that you just said. It's really like camping because you when you're outdoors, when you're not using computer as much as as much as we all use, you get your mind get more stimulations. You get more stimulations from whatever is around you, and you get once you get more stimulations, that then your imagination works. It's not really over time, but more, or at least what I think, and I prove. I think you're absolutely right. How old are you, by the way? Can you tell us?
Sure. I'm 51.
Really? That makes you younger. Okay, cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's great. Now I can actually look in the mirror and say I'm
You're welcome.
younger than I am. My voice. So yeah, just Lego's a big thing with me. So I still remember that when I was 4 years old. Built
I'm a
something. Well,
big fan,
actually,
and
I
I'm
built.
only 26.
Yeah. The one thing that's great about Lego in the olden days, when you had a big box, I still have a big box of Lego still, and it's just different block, And it
Cool.
was really, really like I remember creating my first, there was, oh man, there's a show with like they had these little string puppets. I'm not sure what that was. It was out of England, and they had this ship I used to make before, and when I was on the on when I grew up on a farm, I made a like a, I watched. The Saturn rocket, right, go up to the moon, and I made a Saturn rocket out of tubes of cardboard, and I painted it white and everything else, and used my imagination with that. So, yeah, it's really, really cool to do that. So.
Yeah, that's great. We need more of those board games that are not just, in your computer or your smartphone or whatever, that are not part of the Wi-Fi world, that can simulate more of that, more of the side of inside of us, that imagination part, as it's part of our lifestyle, not use it only when we need to, only when we are desperate. I think that this is a lot to think about. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, boy, thinking a lot of these things you guys are talking about, which is really great. The and I remember Legos too. Also had an Erector set.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah, metal parts, right?
Nostalgic moments, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we all would make robots. There were two camps: either you made robots or you made trucks and cars, which probably is a function of where your imagination was at. By the way, some of us would make these whimsical things that didn't really exist. But anyway, part of what I don't like that's happened, and I think, Jay, you mentioned cameras. Well, these things now are so controlled. Our camera we have now, I really hate it. I like my old camera where I did my own stops, where I figured what the light was, where I figured angles. These cameras now, they have 35 pre-settings. And what that takes away is that level of imagination and creation and even mistakes, which sometimes create great effects. Sharon actually posted a picture on her page, I guess yesterday or today, earlier her today, of a flower she took, and it looks like there's a sun in the middle of the flower. Well, with a lot of the cameras that you have now, that you couldn't do because the camera would automatically correct for it and eliminate it. And so I think some of these things, it goes for the games, too. I watch some of the games that the kids play now, and they're so mechanized, and things are so predetermined. I'm like, where's the fun? You know, we had board games. Yeah, they were kind of silly and stupid, but, you know, it was all out of your imagination. You create it as you played the game.
Yeah. I think some of the games like building cities are really imaginative, too.
Yeah.
You actually building cities. Those are great because you learn from, you know, how do you complete this house in a certain amount of time or with these materials and things like that. So that's a good way of doing it, too. So I think
it's a great tool for those who want to learn engineering, you know, that too.
But, you know, artistry is a great way, too, for imagination, too. I just find that our brain, you know, as we get older, gets set in certain ways of thinking. And that's kind of really sad, actually. So when we actually get into a fluff, or, you know, what are the imaginative ways to get out of fluff, or imaginative ways to be spontaneous, too. When I write something or a book or something, I just write without no expectation. I think that's one of the aspects is just write or do something without no expectations. I think that's one of the keys of the imagination also. But there's also that spark, you know. It's like about if you have something in mind, just, you know, like I said, act upon it, like Jim was saying. So, I think we, you know, make some time for doing it also too, right?
I like that. We reached a lot today in our in this topic. I mean, there is a lot to talk about, and it seems like we found this this connection between imagination and technology, and of course the connection between age and imagination. And I absolutely agree with you. I think that and we actually mentioned that. You know, is when you get more responsibilities, your mind seems, you know, it seems to suppress that tool that is imagination, and we get lost in our own, we go lost in our own, you know, problems and responsibilities and work and, you know, in familyhood and stuff like that, instead of making it much more simpler, we make it more complicated. And of course, today's children and children's games are all about technology. There's no real socializing, no physical socializing. Not, you know, it used to be much more. Today's like everyone Using Facebook, Twitter, the iPhone, WhatsApp, I don't know. But yeah, it's really sad to see it, and I hope, you know, it's really sad for me that that the fact that we get those tools, those communicative tools, to connect from, you know, one place in the world to another, like Facebook and stuff. It can be a very positive tool, but it can be very, very negative as well. Depends on how you use it. But it is definitely not helping you, not helping anyone with, you know, developing and maintaining the imagination as part of our lifestyle. So I hope that we will learn to have that balance and to use more of those stimulations out there in nature, with each other physically, you know, for children and not just children, but adults as well. So we will, you know, we will make this tool way more valuable than it is anyway at the moment. Apparently we passed the hour in 11 minutes. That's probably a record time. You guys, you have something to add, or do you want to continue this conversation, or what do you want to do? Up to you guys.
I think we'll get off in a second. I want to thank Aloha Jay for coming on. It's great to have guests come on the air sometimes too. And I see Jonathan's asking, how can we call in from far away if I can get the nerve to speak on the show? That's two different issues, Jonathan. Yeah, calling in from Australia, I don't think you want to do a long-distance phone call. I think we can still do Skyping people in. I don't know. I guess we need to explore that.
We'll check that out, and we'll give you an answer to that. So, yeah, if you want to connect with us and you know, wait for the answer, just contact Jim or myself. Yeah. Go ahead.
The second part, how do you get the nerve to speak on the show? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you there. We've got several people on the show who, some we've asked to come on, and they're too nervous to do it. A couple others, like, are saying they'd really like to come on, but they're just feeling too nervous. And Aloha Jay, you're on there today. We didn't do anything horrible to you, did we?
No, not pressing. But
not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
But it was great to talk to you regarding the show. I just, you know, this is really, really, really good topic. The guy, you know, that gentleman that had that Sue Gray Wolf regarding employers choosing younger generations over elders. I mean, I think it's the other way around where I live. I think there's a generation gap happening right now and a different way of thinking of how people do stuff. Especially younger generation, the millennials have a different way of thinking and different way of doing things. It's just almost like everything's handed on a plate, and whereas us, it's like, okay, let's see what we have and let's just, you know, use your imagination to do something with it. So there's a big generation gap now. One of thinkers and one of not thinkers. That's basically it. I find that you can walk into, you know, in some of the, you know, restaurants now, and it's all, you know, it's basically you're a human just manning electronic equipment that has everything timed and everything ready to go for you. So,
right.
Yeah. So it is, I think it's maybe it's, you know, matter of also economics, like the gentleman was saying too, regarding, it's cheaper too. So,
but that's true.
Maybe that's cheaper than, you know, pay somebody more expensive. So it could be also that too. But the older generation has a lot of wisdom and knowledge that could be lost, right? So forever, actually.
Yeah. Definitely, it's a mix. And that's part of what we have to learn to stir together in a nice big soup. I know when I ran my own companies and when I ran a bunch of different nonprofits, I often brought in a lot of young employees, and it was not for economic reasons. It was because they were not set in their ways. And they could look at things and come up with ideas using their imagination that maybe we wouldn't see. But I also had older employees too, because they brought the wisdom of what was done in the past. And I think that's what we need to do now across the board, socially. We need to honor both and realize there's a lot of different roads being walked, but we need to bring them together so we can share all those things and together use our imagination and visualize ways to kind of get out of the mess we've created for ourselves.
Yep. Yep. Unfortunately, it is true. We got ourselves into a really, really big mess. And we do need to, you know, we have this imagination tool as you know, to solve so many issues. And unfortunately, we tend to use it less and less. And I hope that things will change as much as we change. We see a lot of changes occur. And it's great those changes happen. But yeah. Anyway, should I close the show? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do anymore.
Again, thanks to everybody. Thank you. Yeah. We have an idea where you're from now, because I heard it when you spoke, eh?
That's right. Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
So welcome into Canada. And yeah, you better close this out, Sharon, before we bore people too much.
I hope not. I hope that that you guys enjoyed our show. It was a pleasure to have you, Loach. I hope more and more people will come up, you know, using the phone now that, you know, one person did it. You all can do it. We will figure things out, how to do it, maybe with Skype. We'll explore that. And of course, anyone who wants to do it and let us know before, please do, and you know, contact Jim or myself, and hopefully we will be able to do so. I imagine, you know, I am imagining the moment we will. So, you know, I'm very hopeful. I trust my imagination anyway. If you guys enjoy the show, please, you know, share those shows with your friends and family on Facebook, Twitter, and kind of social media. Share it on the share button, which was a very complicated sentence to say. Anyway, another thing to say would be that you can go to our website, www.sotem.org. Contact us from there. Donate if you can. It's for you, it's for us, it's for everybody. And help us to make more changes. And imagination is part of that change, I'm sure. We'll see you again soon, very, very soon. Until then, we'll continue to write more blogs. So, you know, stay tuned with us and keep yourselves updated. And of course, if you want, you know, to help us with more topics to our shows, let us know which topics you are, you know, you interested in bringing things up and start a discussion. We're happy to have you here like every week. And we will be very happy if you'll, you know, help us with some topics. Anyway, we'll see you again soon. Take care of yourselves. Have a great week. Or we can, depends on where and when you are. And yeah, take care. See you.